program is about to commence. I humbly request for all the students, the youngsters, inshallah, to proceed downstairs to the basement. Inshallah, there will be a special program for them. And all the other brothers should come forward, inshallah. Be careful also, inshallah, that of those who are performing salah, do not cross the path of those who are performing salah. Inshallah, for this session, we will commence with a bayan. The Hazrat Mufti Nazir Mintisab Daum Barakatuh is a senior alim from Klagsdorf and is a khalifa of our Honorable Sheikh and Ustad Hazrat Muhammad Abdul Hamid Daum Barakatuh Mur'aliya. Inshallah, we humbly request the to come forward.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما أبرئ نفسي إن النفس لأمارة بالسوء إلا ما رحم ربي إن ربي غفور رحيم. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشافرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. نتشكر سكيت يا نفسك فهلواكو کبھی تو وہ دبا لے کبھی تو دبا لے مگر نہ کر غم کے جانے کی ہرگز تمنا، اگر گیا غم تو پھر یہ دل کا عالم نہ ہوگا. آنریبل علماء کرام، ریسپیکٹڈ ایلڈرز، برادرز اینڈ فرینڈز ان اسلام، دیر از ناٹ اے سنگل پرسن دیٹ وی ول فائنڈ ٹوڈے who will say that he has absolutely no kind of grief, no kind of sorrow, no kind of worry. Every man's heart has some kind of grief, some kind of sorrow, some kind of worry. The only difference is some people's hearts, the grief and sorrow and the worry that they have is for the things of this dunya and whatever is in this dunya. And there are some hearts whose grief and sorrow and whose worry is for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the year after. The difference between the two is like when a person sits in a glass house and outside there is a major storm, winds are blowing, rain is falling, dust is going from every direction, and there is one person outside as well. The person that is inside sees everything, but yet his heart is in peace. His heart has got that assurance that inshallah nothing will overcome me. He is not affected by the rain, by the winds, by the storms, despite him seeing everything. But the person who is outside is that person who has been affected. He gets the winds, he gets the sand, he gets the storm. He is affected by every condition outside. That is the difference between a person who is in deen is like that person who is in the glass house. And the person who is in dunya is the exact person who is outside. And the effect of it is, the person who is outside, the conditions that come upon him, then he goes into depression, he gets worries, he gets heart attack, all these kinds because of dunya things. If he loses dunya, he's like lost everything. The ground sweeps away under his feet. Because whatever he has is that which is around him, the dunya around him. And that is why he gets affected by all these kinds of conditions. And the person who is in the glass house, despite seeing whatever is happening around him, but he knows his iman and his deen is protecting him from all sides, provided he fulfills the requirements of deen and iman. Or another example to understand it is, you find two different people. One person is tearing, is crying, and is using tissue after tissue to wipe off his tears. And you find another person doing the same thing. But you ask the first person, what is your problem? He will tell you that my young son died, or I've lost some beloved person in my family, or I've faced such difficulty, I've lost all my possessions. And he's crying for the dunya, his cry is a cry of pain. On the other hand, you go to the other person and ask him, why are you wiping so many tears? He says, you know, I was eating something, it was very, very spicy, but it was so nice, I just couldn't stop eating it, and I feel like having more and more. Despite the tears coming out, but he keeps on eating that. The people of deen, their tears are like that. As much tears as they shed, but the pleasure in the tears make them go deeper and deeper, eat more and more. Our ulama and our akabir have mentioned that there are seven types of what they call gham, worry, that can overtake men in his quest to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you can take it as stage for stage as well. One is the gham, one is the worry that no good deed, I should not miss any good deed. You see, nek kaam ki chhootne ki gham, no good deed must I ever miss. The moment the opportunity is there, I must try and do it. And there are examples in our deen, our predecessors. There was a buzurg who once missed his tahajjud. And he had so much grief for missing the tahajjud of his, that he kept a whole year's nafal ibadah, nafal roza, just because of one tahajjud. We know the very well incident that is mentioned regarding that person who missed his takbir-e-ula. For months and months, he was grieved. He was in great grief and sorrow. And he used to cry. He says, if I had lost a son, all the people would have come and consoled me. But here I've missed my takbir-e-ula and nobody even worries about it anymore. Regarding Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala, which is written, that on one occasion, he was on a journey, and they were traveling, it was late at night, they were tired, and he went to sleep very late. And in a deep sleep of his, he could not get up for tahajjud. When his eyes opened, it was Fajr time. Amir Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala, who cried so much, and so much tawbah he made. And not long after that, a very similar situation came about, where again they were on a journey, and again they slept late and he was very tired. But tahajjud time, one person came and woke him up. Get up, it's time for tahajjud. So he turned around and said, it's very kind of you to wake me up for tahajjud. Who are you? He says, I'm Shaitan. He says, Shaitan waking me up for tahajjud? He says, gee. He says, but you're supposed to be an enemy to me. He says, yes, I'm waking you up, but I'm showing you my enmity. That's why I'm waking you up. He says, the last time when you got up, when you missed your tahajjud, you cried so much and you made so much tawbah that Allah wrote years and years of tahajjud in your Naam-e Amal. And yeah, I'd rather wake you up for the one tahajjud than you at least won't get all the years of tahajjud in your Amal. So the grief of missing good deeds, that is so important. Sometimes opportunities come and go, but it doesn't even tickle our heart that I could have done this good deed, I could have done that good deed. We waste our time in so many futile activities where we don't even realize opportune moments go by and we don't take the benefit of reaping from that or doing those good deeds. The second type of gham, or the second type of worry, ki kabhi guna tarasir na ho jaye, ki that I must not make a guna. That is also a concern, a worry that is supposed to be in the heart of men. That I must be so careful that I must not make a guna. And if the guna comes, we make tawbah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on one occasion returns home. He finds a khajur or two lying on the floor. He picks it up and he eats it. He hardly ate it and the thought came that a lot of people come and bring the sadaqah here. Could this not be maybe a khajur of sadaqah, which I ate? And he goes into such a state of worry, such a state of grief, that the whole night he turns from side to side. Ummul Mu'mineen radiallahu ta'ala anha asks him, "Oh Nabi of Allah, what is wrong tonight?" He says, "I ate a khajur, I don't know whether I'm supposed to have eaten it or not. Whether it was ours or whether it was sadaqah khajur." Today, so many things, we just go forward. We don't even worry what we eat, how we eat, where we eat. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, on one occasion, saw a man standing at an intersection. And he was being a hindrance to people that were going from side to side. As we know the temperament of Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he took out his rope and he gave him one leg. Not on him, on the bale of clothes that he had. The person went away, Umar radiallahu ta'ala walked away from there. But the thought struck him that I could have told him in a much, much more better way that, you know what, you are a disturbance to the people, move away from here. But the fact that I struck him, and tomorrow Allah ta'ala will ask me that you made zulm on this person. So that fear was in him, that concern, that ghum, that worry was in him. After 1 year he seen him, he recognized him and he went to him. He asked him, "Why did you make Hajj?" He says, "No." He says, "Come, I give you 600 dirhams, go make Hajj." The person became very, very happy. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala reminded him, "Do you know what is the 600 dirhams I'm giving you for?" He says, "No." He says, "It's a 1 year ago I gave you one worthless. And I felt hurt about it. And maybe you also must have felt hurt about it. But I could never recompense you because I didn't meet you. Today I am giving you this so that your heart becomes happy, so that tomorrow Allah Ta'ala don't take me to task." So that man says, "I even forgot about it." Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala says, "You may have forgotten, but I have to answer for it. How could I forget?" Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala once had a slave, and he asked him to do some work. And he was a bit lazy, he didn't really do it as he wanted, as he had to do it. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala took his ear and twisted it. Immediately thereafter the thought came, that if Allah asked me, "Why did you twist his ear?" what would I say? So he turned around and he said, "You twist my ear." The slave was reluctant, but nevertheless he forced him, so he twisted his ear mildly. So he says, "No, twist it hard, so that there's no extra due on you on the day of Qiyamah. So that everything clears in this world. It's easy to answer here, it's easier to pay back here. There it's very difficult." So the fear of trying to keep ourselves away from guna, that ghum, that worry, all the time is in the heart of those who are the salifin, those who are seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the third ghum is mentioned, or the third worry is mentioned, that a person worries that whatever a'mal he does, it must not be rejected in the court of Allah Ta'ala. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself says, مَا عَبَدْنَاكَ حَقَّ عِبَادَتِكَ. Oh Allah, I can never fulfill the right of your ibadat. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I could not fulfill the right of your ibadat. What ibadat do we really mean? What do we know is that ibadat is even going above our head? Mujaddid al-Fithani rahimahullah, on one occasion, he writes in his maktubah that on one occasion I sat down and I reflected on my past life. And I thought for about 20 years before. And I came to the realization that my good deeds are almost similar to my bad deeds. I haven't really done anything much, anything wonderful. It is immediately at that time, I started turning towards Allah and I said, Oh Rabb, maghfiratuka awsa'u min dhunubi wa rahmatuka arja'a indi min a'mali. That, Oh Allah, don't even look at my a'mal. Your maghfirat is much, much more greater than me. And I am seek your mafazal, your karam, your rahm for myself to be saved on the day of Qiyamah. So this is that wrong which a person needs to have. That no matter what ibadat I make, I have to come closer to Allah. But that is not because of my ibadat I'm going to get somewhere. At the end of it all, whatever Allah's puzzle is, only that will prevail. Then the fourth ghum which is mentioned is the ghum that a person will come in front of the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ke samne peshi hogi. One day I will have to go and stand in front of Allah. And in the condition I am, how will I say to Allah Ta'ala? What will I say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? One buzurg, it is written in kitab, that was a great abid. And once he was coming from masjid late at night, and there was a great big storm. On the way he seen a kitten, and he pitied this kitten. So he took the kitten and he covered it in his coat and he took it home. When he reached home, he made a place for it, he comforted it, made it warm, gave it a bit of milk, and then he retired to his sleep. After he passed away, someone seen him in a dream and asked him, how did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala treat you? So he said, when I stood in front of Allah, Allah asked me, what did you come with? So I said, I don't know, maybe my salah is accepted, not accepted, my roza is accepted, not accepted. What must I say? For a while I pondered, and then I thought, let me at least say, Allah, I came with iman. That's what I came with. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, أَتَذْكُرُ لَيْلَةَ الْلَبَنْ. Do you remember the night of the milk? So he got shaken up. What's now? What's the problem? So Allah ta'ala told him, one night you went and you drank milk. And after you drank milk, you went to sleep and you had a tummy ache. And then you said, you know what, I got a tummy ache because I drank milk. Was the milk the cause of your tummy ache, or did I give you the tummy ache? Is that the iman you come with? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then tells him, but don't worry, I will forgive you. Because of one night of good deeds in your life, is that kitten which you took in that whole night, and you sheltered and you gave it warmth and covered it, that kitten made dua that, oh Allah, like how this man has covered, comforted me today, you also comfort him one day. And the dua of the kitten I accept for you, and you enter my Jannah. So respected brothers and friends, irrespective of what our situation is, whether whatever we do, we have to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no getaway from that. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala says, used to say, I wish I was a blade of grass. Sometimes he says, I wish I was a bird, so that I didn't have to stand in front of Allah ta'ala. We sometimes become oblivious of these things. We totally forget these things. Then the next ghum that is mentioned is the ghum which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also used to have. And that is the ghum, the worry of our family and close associates. A person doesn't only wish good for himself. What about my children? What about my family? What about my neighbor? What about my friend? And continuously go to them, speak to them nicely, try and convince them, get up and make dua for them. And that is a worry which Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, imagine, time and again he used to go to Abu Jahl, go to Abu Lahab, go to the chief kings of Makkah, Qulu la ilaha illallah, read la ilaha illallah, you will become successful. Abu Talib, his uncle, how much he begged him. On his deathbed, he said, only say la ilaha illallah, I will make sifarish for you unto the Qiyamah. So that is a worry that every one of us should have. That how can my community become, or get the same desire, the same worry, that I need to go in front of Allah, this concern. And then lastly, the ghum of the Ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which our Hazrat Shaykh and our Akabir have displayed in so many ways. That concern, I mean, if we have to go one, two nights away from our homes and go back, we know how it feels. We say back, home sweet home. There's no home sweet home for them. Days upon days they go out. Months upon months, sometimes years, sometimes there. That fire is burning. Only what the ummah, that worry of the ummah, that ghum of the ummah. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, for 23 years he cried on his ummah. A mother doesn't also cry for 23 years. Sometimes if a child dies, the mother will cry 1, 2 years, 5 years. But Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, every step that he was faced with, Ya Rabbi Ummati, Ya Rabbi Ummati, we have inherited that ghum from Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We should be worrying of the ummah of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Our Akabir, our Shaykh is the Shaykh. Imagine the sacrifices that they have to go through, the age, the sickness, the traveling, but yet that concern, that worry, that worry, that fire of the love of Allah must burn in the heart of every man. Every man must learn to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam's condition was, on one occasion when he was standing and a janaza was passing in front of him, and he inquired, whose janaza is this? So they told him, a kafir ka janaza hai. So he says, bas, a half deep sigh he took, and he says, one ummati of mine is gone into Jahannam. On one occasion, a kafir was lying on his deathbed, he was ill. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to him, gave him the da'wat of Iman, he accepted, and his face became so bright and so happy, and he says, at least one ummati of mine is gone to Jannah, is gone with the kalima. That is the concern that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to have, and that concern our Akabir and our Shuyukh have. In reality, our condition is such that we, if it was not for their worry, if it was not for that fire that was burning in them, we wouldn't even have been here today. Who knows where we may have spent our time. It is that concern, that worry, that fire that is left in that one heart that lights the whole country, that lights the whole world, that is going from corner to corner and saying, come to Allah, come to Allah. So respected brothers, we need to understand how fortunate we are. Allah Ta'ala keep Hazrat Wala's saya for a long time upon us, so that we can understand the message, we can benefit. And likewise, we can follow the prescription given to us, so that we also become, at least amongst those who have this true ghum, or this true worry in our hearts, and then this heart will become a heart. Otherwise, if there is no worry in the heart of akhirat, then this heart is of futile. This heart is of no use. Allama Madhub Rahmatullah Alayh, a great Khalifa of the Thani Rahmatullah Alayh, he mentions in this poem of his, he says, Nachit tarasate tu ye nafs te pehlwa tu. This nafs is so strong it will continuously fight you. You will never be able to defeat it. Kabhi to woh dabale, kabhi to tu dabale. Sometimes you will overpower it, sometimes he will also overpower you. He will make you do things you're not supposed to do, but you will overpower it again with tawbah. He says, Magar natar ghum ke jaane ki farzish tamanna. Don't ever think that my heart must be empty of these worries, that I don't have to have no worry whatsoever. I must be totally a worry-free man. Every mu'min has this worry of his dunya, of his akhirat, of his good deeds, of his bad deeds. He's got worry of mouth. That worry at the time of death, that ghum for the time of death, that is the one I slipped up in between. That a person used to have ghum, that at the time of death what will happen to me. That is such a crucial time. It is such a crucial time that a person at that time, if he goes with iman, his whole year after life, forever and ever, is sorted out. And Allah forbid it, at that first moment a person loses his iman, is ruined and doomed forever. There's a hadith in Bukhari, the mafhum of which is Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that sometimes a person, his whole life he does good deeds. Towards the end of his life, sabakat turuk, takdir overtakes him. There's some guna which he made in his life, and that guna makes him come out of iman, and then he goes away into Jahannam forever. And then it says one person his whole life, he makes good deeds, good deeds, good deeds. And towards the end of his life, because of one good deed which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves of his takdir overtakes him. He does one such a good deed, he accepts iman, and he goes into Jannah forever. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah, when he was on his deathbed, he used to come into that stupa, in and out of that stupa, and sometimes he used to say, Abi nahi, not now, Abi nahi, not now. Then the people were giving the kalima, Talqeen la ilaha illallah, al-sadwa la ilallah, and he used to say, Abi nahi, not now, Abi nahi, not now. People were wondering, such a great imam is giving the kalima, what is he saying? Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, after some time, when he came into consciousness, and he was asked, oh Imam, why are you saying this? He said, Iblis was standing next to me and he's telling me, oh Muhammad, you have gone without, you're out of my clutches, you've gone without, are you leaving this world with iman? So he says, I'm telling Iblis that the breath is telling me I haven't still left without iman. The final breath when I live with iman, then you can say I've gone. So respected brothers and friends, this ghum, this worry, this concern, our hearts cannot be void of it. At every instant, at every moment, we should have that ghum that I never commit evil. I guna mustn't come from me. I must never leave the opportunity of doing a good deed. I must worry that Allah, whatever I do, you accept. No matter what kind of it, what condition it may be. And our condition is like when a father tells a small child, bring a sweet, bring a sweet. He may bring a broken sweet, a dirty sweet, whatever sweet. But when the father says, oh, mashallah, thank you so much, jazakallah, jazakallah. Our condition is that when we go to Allah Ta'ala, that is what we're going to go and give Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala through his puzzle, accept whatever we make. This ghum of the ummah, this ghum of the people around us, how can it ever bring peace? But in all this ghum, there is peace, there is enjoyment, there is comfort, there is closeness to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And under the tutorship and mentorship of our Shaykh, there will never be a moment where a person will have the grief in dunya, the people of the grief and the sorrow that the people of dunya have. In the grief there is such contentment that only the heart that experiences it know the truth of it. May Allah Ta'ala give myself first and each and every one of us the realization and understanding of this haqeeqah. Subhanallah.
Jazakumullah khairan. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to make amal, to create this ghum and concern in our hearts. Inshallah, for the last program of this session, we'll call Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Ifaq Sahib, Daman Barakatuhum. Inshallah, who is the Khalifa of Hazrat Abdul Hamid Sahib, Daman Barakatuhum. And he is also one of the helping assistant Muftis in the Madrasa. Many of our Hazrat's Kitabs, which have been transcribed, he has done the work. So, inshallah, we'll call him.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina safa, amma ba'd. Fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. قل إن صلاتي ونسكي ومحياي ومماتي لله رب العالمين. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إنما الأعمال بالنيات وإنما لكل امرئ ما نوى إلى آخر الحديث. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected ulama, elders, beloved brothers, Imam Abu Dawood rahmatullah alayhi has written that the basis of our deen is upon four ahadith. The first hadith that he has quoted is the hadith that I have recited, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ, that verily all actions are dependent on the intention that a person makes. وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَّا نَوَى, and verily for every person is whatever he has intended, according to his intention he will be rewarded. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam explains further, فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, that person that makes hijrat towards Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then the reward of his hijrat is for making hijrat towards Allah and His Rasul. وَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى دُنْيَا يُصِيبُهَا, and a person that makes hijrat to attain this dunya, أَوْ إِمْرَأَتِي يَتَزَوَّجُهَا, or he makes hijrat for marrying a woman, فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى مَا هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِ, then his reward for hijrat will be for whatever he has made hijrat, for that worldly possession or for marrying that woman, etc. The second hadith Imam Abu Dawud rahmatullah alayhi mentioned that is the basis of deen, min husni islamil mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni, from the beauty of the Islam of a person is that he leaves out those things that do not concern him, those things that are futile, he's got no time to waste in those things, he stays away from those things. The third hadith Imam Abu Dawud rahmatullah alayhi mentions and he quotes, he said, اِذْهَبْ فِي الدُّنْيَا يُحِبَّكَ اللَّهُ وَاذْهَبْ فِي مَا عِنْدَ النَّاسِ يُحِبَّكَ النَّاسِ, that turn away, that is abstention from dunya, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will love you. And stay away, just incline from that which people love, which people have, and for this people will love you. And the fourth hadith he mentions, الْحَلَالُ بَيِّنْ وَالْحَرَامُ بَيِّنْ وَبَيْنَهُمَا مُشْتَبِهَاتِ, that halal is clear cut. Every person will know what is halal. وَالْحَرَامُ بَيِّنْ, and which is haram, that is also clear cut. A person knows that this is haram. But in between the two is that which is doubtful. A person that gets involved in these things that are doubtful, eventually this will take him, he will come into haram. So my respected elders and brothers, we find that these four hadiths, we can understand how important they are. I will just very briefly speak on the first hadith that I quoted regarding amal and niyat. When, on what occasion did Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam narrate this hadith to sahaba? It is mentioned that a certain person wanted to marry a woman in Madinatul Munawwara, Umme Qais. Therefore this person, he is given the title of Muhajir Umme Qais. He wanted to marry her. So she said, I'll marry you on one condition. The condition is you make hijrat and you come down to Madinatul Munawwara and then I will marry you. So this person, he made hijrat, he comes down to Madinatul Munawwara and he gets married to her. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is informed of this, Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam quotes this hadith that person that makes hijrat to attain dunya, or he makes hijrat to marry a woman, then this is the reward that person is going to be given. Another discussion is also mentioned under this, that Abu Talha radiallahu ta'ala anh, he wanted to get married to Umme Sulaym radiallahu ta'ala anha. That was the mother of Anas radiallahu ta'ala anh. So he sent a proposal for her. She said, I'm prepared to marry you, but on condition you accept Islam, you bring Iman. He was not a Muslim at that time. So he accepted Islam and he got married to her. So here we find Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ulama have written that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not object on this occasion. But when the Sahabi made hijrah to get married to a woman, then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had objected. What is the reason that there was no objection here, where Islam is much, much more higher than hijrah? Hijrah is a word of a lower category. So Nabi alayhi wa sallam objected there, but here Nabi alayhi wa sallam did not object. So the ulama have written, the reason for this is, this person, he was going to accept Islam. Abu Talha was going to accept Islam. But here he just rushed up the process a little bit, because he had an added bonus, an added incentive over here, that here I'll accept Islam also, I will get married also. Like for example, a person is a smoker, now he wants to give up his smoking. So what happens? The month of Ramadan is coming. He says, I am going to fast. So at the same time, I'm going to fast, I'm going to stay away from eating, drinking and smoking. So at that time, let me give it up also. So he is killing two birds with one stone. So why all these discussions in the kitabs of ahadith, my respected elders and brothers? So that we understand the importance of ikhlas. That how, what type of ikhlas is required in the court of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala for any action to be accepted. What I'm going to mention is basically what we have heard from Hazrat Dawood Barakatuhum. The example that he has given, I will basically quote the very same example. He mentions Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam in the Quran. There were three occasions in the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam where Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam has used tawriya. Tawriya is where a person, he does not speak a blatant lie, but he says something and the opposite party understands something else. I'll give an example to understand this. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making hijrah from Makkah Sharif and he has to go to Madinah al-Munawwara. At that particular time, the life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is in great danger. The kuffar of Makkah have made a statement, have made a declaration, any person that can get hold of Nabi alayhi salam, bring him to us, we will give you 100 camels. So who wasn't going to be in search of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? So it is mentioned, after Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam left the Ghare Thawr, the cave of Thawr, he is now proceeding towards Madinah al-Munawwara. With Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, one person meets Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. Now he knows Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. But he does not know Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he asks Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, that, oh Abu Bakr, who is this person that is with you? If Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala says, this is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in danger. And if he gives another name, that means he is now speaking a lie. So on this occasion, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala practices upon tawriya. He said, هذا الرجل الذي يهديني السبيل. This is the man that shows me the road. Now in those days when they used to travel through the jungles, they used to travel through the desert, what used to happen? They used to have a guide, so a person does not get lost. So he will guide you to your destination, he will take you to your destination. So this person, what he understood, that this is a guide, he's taking Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala to his destination. What Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala intended, this is the man that takes me to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. This is the man that takes me towards Jannah. وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. That, oh Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you guide people towards the straight path. So this is what we call tawriya. So it is mentioned, there were three occasions in the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam where he practiced upon tawriya. The first, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran. People are going for a festival. So they told Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, oh Ibrahim, you join us also. Allah ta'ala says, فَنَذَرَ نَذْرَةً فِي النُّجُومِ فَقَالَ إِنِّي سَقِيمٍ. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam looks at the stars. And then he comments and he says that I am sick. So the people in that time, they believe that the stars have an effect on you. So therefore they did not question the illness of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. They thought he is physically sick. What Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam meant when he said I was sick, your kufr, your shirk, your idol worship that you are involved in, I am sick and I am tired of this. So this tawriya which Ibrahim alayhi salam practiced upon, Allah ta'ala makes mention of it in the Quran. The second occasion, it is mentioned that when these people had gone for a festival, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam broke all the idols. فَجَعَلَهُمْ جُذَاذًا إِلَّا كَبِيرًا لَهُمْ لَعَلَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ يَرْجِعُونَ. He broke them, he made them into fragments, into pieces, except the biggest from among them, so that they returned to him. When these people, they came back, he said, مَنْ فَعَلَ هَذَا بِآلِهَتِنَا يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ. Who has done this with our deities, O Ibrahim? So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam said, قَالَ بَلْ فَعَلَ. He has done it. كَبِيرُهُمْ هَذَا, the biggest one of them, فَسْأَلُوهُمْ إِنْ كَانُوا يَنْتِقُونَ. Ask these deities, question them if they are able to speak. What was the reason? He wanted them to understand that these deities cannot speak, they cannot hear, they cannot benefit, they cannot harm. Where are you worshipping such deities? But here again, he practiced on tawriya. This Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala makes mention in the Quran. The third occasion, when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is making hijrah, they come across a very, very oppressive king. So this oppressive king, any beautiful woman will come across his path, he will get hold of her and he will fulfill his desire with her. So here he got hold of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and he asked Ibrahim alayhi salam a question, that who is this woman? So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam responds and he says, هَذِهِ أُخْتِ Sara. This is my sister Sara. So it was his wife, but he said, this is my sister Sara. Why? At that particular time in the world, there were no other believing women except his wife. So she was his believing sister. So he said, this is my sister Sarah. My respected brothers, the rewired comes nevertheless. So he said that this is my sister Sarah. So this Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has not mentioned in the Quran. It comes in the rewired of Bukhari Sharif. That he got hold of Hazrat Sarah alayhi salatu wasalam. And he took her. Then he advanced to now fulfill his desire with her. So what does she do at that time? She makes wudu and she starts her salah. And then to make dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Allahumma in kuntu amantu bika wa bi rasulik, wallahi if I brought iman upon you, I brought iman upon your rasul, wa ahsantu farji illa ala zawji, and I protected my chastity except for my husband. Fala tusallit alayya al-kafir, don't give this kafir the upper hand over me. What was the birth of the dua? It comes, فَغَطَّى وَرَكَدَ بِرِجْلَيْهِ, that immediately his breathing became heavy, he began choking. And at that time, it is mentioned, he began stamping his feet on the ground. وَرَكَدَ بِرِجْلَيْهِ. So now she got frightened, that if this man is going to die, people are going to blame me. So she made dua, اللَّهُمَّ إِيَّمُتْ يُقَالْ هِيَ قَتَلَتْهُ فَأَرْسِلْ. Wallah, if this man is going to die, it will be said that he has killed him. Wallah, let him go. So immediately Allah tabarak wa ta'ala frees him. The moment he is freed, again goes back to it. Now he advanced again. Again she makes the same dua. Again the same condition. Again she gets frightened. Again she makes dua, Allah, if he's going to die, people are going to blame me. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala frees him. The third time when he's freed, the second time he goes back again towards her. The third time the same dua, the same thing transpires. On the third time he said, وَمَا أَرْسَلْتُمْ إِلَيَّ إِلَّا شَيْطَانًا, that you have not sent towards me except a shaitan. And on this occasion, that slave girl that he had, Hazrat Hajar alayhi salatu wasalam, she was a slave girl. He took the slave girl, he says, I'm giving the slave girl to you. And this is the same girl that was given to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam got married to her. So look at the level of the ikhlas that is desired by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that here no person wants somebody to look at his wife, to touch his wife. But Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, because he had his personal benefit here, this tawriya was not mentioned in Quran Sharif. This is the level of ikhlas that is wanted by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. When Qabatullah, when Baytullah, the building of Baytullah was entrusted to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, what acceptance Allah ta'ala had given Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah ta'ala mentioned when he put into various tests, فَأَتَمَّهُنْ, with flying colors he passed the test. Allah ta'ala says, إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا, I will make you an imam for mankind, O Ibrahim. Qabatullah, what acceptance? Allah ta'ala says, وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ, one adhan you make, O Ibrahim. Make one i'lan, O Ibrahim. يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالًا وَعَلَى كُلِّ ضَامِرٍ, people will come walking to Baytullah, they will come upon every lean camel. يَأْتِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍ عَمِيقٍ, every distant road they will come, but they will come to Baytullah. What acceptance Allah Ta'ala had given to Baytullah? مَتَابَةً لِلنَّاسِ وَأَمْنَى, Allah Ta'ala says, this is a place of gathering. Mufassiri explained Mataba. Mataba is that place where the heart of a person wants to go back again and again. A man finished his hajj, come back home, desire is, let me go for the next hajj. He went for Umrah, he came back from Umrah, again I want to go to Baytullah, I want to go for another Umrah. But in spite of this, when both father and son, they complete building a Baytullah, what is the condition? Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَعِيلِ, at that time they thought, رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا, وَاللَّهِ accepted from us, وَاللَّهِ accepted us from us. Here Hazrat explains that the word taqabbal, it has been brought from the bab of taqa'ul, in which they istakalluf. Here they expressing that we are helpless, we are useless. Wallah, that this Baytullah we have built, your house we have built, it is not worth presenting before you. Through your fazl, through your karam, Allah, you accept this Baytullah. This is that level of ikhlas, my respected elders and brothers, that is required by Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Hazrat Mullah Ashraf al-Itami rahmatullahi explains, he says that one person, he went for two hajj. He went for two hajj. Our Hazrat beautifully explained this. He says that this is not the hajj of today, you get into the plane 7 hours a day in Jeddah. He says this is the hajj of those days when people used to leave from India. He says it was such a great task that when people used to leave for hajj, then they would take their rice also, they will take their oil also, they will take ghee also, all the provision they will take, and now they proceed into Makkah al-Mukarramah. When they leave their little gram, their little village in India, when they come onto the roadside, then all the people of the locality also will come and leave them on the roadside. From there they'll get into the taxi, and that taxi will thereafter take them to the railway station. That train that they will get onto, that train will take them now to perhaps Bombay. And now in Bombay they will have to stay in the Musafir Khana. How much of difficulty? Now they will have to stay in the Musafir Khana 1 week, 2 weeks. Get your documentation in order. Then get onto the ship. Another 1 month journey to Jeddah. When they reach Jeddah, Hazrat says that at Jeddah airport it was like Qiyamah, the way they used to be interrogated in those days. And then they have to travel to Makkah Sharif or Madinah Sharif. Not like in luxury vehicles, but they used to travel by camel, fearing highway robbers, that yeah, our wealth might also be stolen. What difficulty they will go to Makkah Sharif. Hazrat Tami rahmatullahi writes that here a person that performed not one hajj, two hajj, somebody came to his house to come and visit him. When he came to visit him at his house, he tells his khadim that give him water in that goblet that I brought from Madinah Munawwara in my second hajj. What he wants him to know, that I am not a single haji, I am a double haji, I have performed two hajj. Hazrat Tani rahmatullahi says, in one statement, the two hajj that you have performed, you have thrown it down the drain. What ikhlas is required by Allah tabarak wa ta'ala? On one occasion, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, he says, a pitch black ant on a pitch black rock, on a pitch black night,
this ant is now crawling. Can anyone see and hear the movement of that ant? Impossible. Pitch black, you cannot hear the movement of that ant, you cannot see that ant. He says, more silently than that, riya, pride, summa, ostentation, the desire for name and fame, this enters into the heart of a person. Allah Ta'ala rewarded Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. Immediately he spoke up and he said, Ya Rasulullah, if that is the condition, we are all destroyed. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, I will teach you a dua. That recite this dua on a daily basis. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will thereafter protect you. Allah Ta'ala will grant you ikhlas. This dua is, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min an ushrika bika shay'a wa ana a'lam wa astaghfiruka lima la a'lam. It is on the main page of the Khanqah website. This dua is written there. Try and learn this dua, and you should try and recite this dua daily. That by reciting this dua, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will grant ikhlas to a person. Allah Ta'ala will protect a person. It is mentioned the wife of Harun al-Rashid, Zubaydah. At that time, when water was not easily available in Makkah al-Mukarramah for the Hajjaj, at that time she decides to build a canal running from Baghdad right up to Makkah Sharif. She called the engineers. She says, I want to build this canal running from Baghdad to Makkah Sharif. They said, do you know what it's going to cost you? She says, I don't care. Even if I have to pay one gold coin for every spade, I'm prepared to pay one dinar for every spade, but this canal has to be dug. So it is mentioned the work starts. And it reaches completion. When it is completed, these engineers, they bring the accounts, they put the accounts before her. She doesn't even look at the accounts. Why? She says, on the day of Qiyamah, I don't want Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to take me to task, so I do not want to look at the expenses also today. When she passes away, her Fatima, that used to serve her, sees her in a dream. She says, how did it go? Allah ta'ala forgave me, very very high darjah Allah ta'ala gave me. She said, we knew that. 800, 900 years, people benefited from that water, that canal you dug from Baghdad running to Makkah Sharif. The Hujjaj had water, you provided for them. We knew Allah Ta'ala was going to forgive you. She says, no, when that was presented before Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala mentioned that here you used public money, it was not your personal money. So where are you presenting this? So he says, on what basis did Allah Ta'ala forgive you? Hazrat mentions over here, he says that Allah Ta'ala forgave me because of certain intentions I had in my heart that nobody knew. This was a secret between me and between Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. On this, Imam Shafi rahmatullahi says that every person should have certain niyat in his heart that is a secret between him and between Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. This is that ikhlas that is required. النَّاسُ كُلُّمْ هَالِكُونَ إِلَّا الْعَالِمُونَ. That mankind put together is destroyed except those people that have the knowledge. وَالْعَالِمُونَ كُلُّمْ هَالِكُونَ إِلَّا الْعَامِلُونَ. And those that have knowledge, that have the ilm of deen, they are also destroyed except for those people that make amal upon that knowledge. وَالْعَامِلُونَ كُلُّهُمْ هَالِكُونَ إِلَّا الْمُخْلِصُونَ. And those that make amal on that knowledge that they have, they are also destroyed except those people that have ikhlas and they have sincerity. وَالْمُخْلِصُونَ عَلَىٰ خَطَرٍ عَظِيمٍ. And those that have ikhlas, they also upon great danger, that you don't know when that ikhlas is going to be lost. You start an amal with ikhlas, in between little bit of pride can come in, that ikhlas, that amal is totally destroyed in the court of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. In the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, it is mentioned Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala is sent as the commander of the army on the occasion of the battle of Yarmouk. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala sends one sahabi, he writes a note, and he sends this note with a sahabi, go and give it to the Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala. What does he write here? He says, O Khalid ibn Walid, when you receive this letter from me, then immediately you are dismissed from your position, you are no longer the general and the commander of the army. The person that brings this letter to you, he will now resume duty, he is now the commander of the army. It is mentioned this person, if you want, you may return to Madinah to Munawwara, or if you want, you continue fighting as a normal soldier. This letter is brought, and it is given to Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala. When he reads it, immediately he pulls back, he hands over position to this first sahabi that had brought it. But he continues fighting as a normal soldier. So thereafter somebody asked him, says that, O Khalid ibn Walid, it must have been very, very difficult for you that you moved back. He says that it was exactly the same. When I was the commander of the army, it was ikhlas, it was for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. When I fought as a normal soldier, then also it was for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So therefore it made no difference whatsoever in my life. Shah Abdul Ghani Fulfuri rahmatullahi, he beautifully explains this in one example. He says that in the previous days, when a girl would get married, so at that time, what would they do? That the ladies of the town would come, and they will now beautify, they will decorate her for the wedding. Somebody will put a nose ring, somebody will put an earring, somebody will do the hair of that girl up, somebody will take care of the clothing of the girl, etc., and they'll beautify this girl. So he says, one particular girl, it was an occasion of marriage, they came, they did this girl up. And after doing this girl up, They told her, now you look absolutely beautiful, you look like a doll. So she started crying. They say, what's wrong? What's the problem? She says, you people are telling me that I look so beautiful, but the man that I have to live the rest of my life with, if he says I'm beautiful, then it is something. What is the use if you people are saying that I'm beautiful? So here, Hazrat Shah Abdul Ghani Fulfuri rahmatullahi used to cry, and used to say, many people come and they say, Hazrat, there's so much of noor on your face. Hazrat, this is the type of bayan that you give, and this is the effect that it has on people. This is the type you recite Quran. So beautiful they recite Quran Sharif. He says, but in the court of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, is it accepted or is not accepted? That is the greatest thing. If Allah ta'ala accepts it on the day of Qiyamah, then it is something to be happy and to be pleased about. Therefore, Mawlana Rumi rahmatullahi he says, a person can only be happy. A person can only rejoice when with salamati he has taken his iman, and now he has entered into the qabr with salamati with that iman. Now it is the time to rejoice. He says, before that, rote raho, darte raho, or amal tarte raho, that continue crying and continue fearing that is this accepted in the court of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala or not, and continue making amal. As long as you are living, this should be the condition of a person. Only when a person got his book of deeds in his right hand, now he's happy, he has passed your examination, now is the time to rejoice. My respected elders and brothers, Hazrat Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullahi alayh has written, we heard in the morning also, Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullahi alayh has written, that this ikhlas will never come into a person until he comes into the sohbat of Ahlullah. It will only come when a person comes into the sohbat of Ahlullah, because these are doctors, they know what is our condition. We many a time think we got ikhlas, but a person has pride. Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullahi alayh has written, he says, when a person enters my khanqa, the moment he enters, one look at this person, he says, I can tell that what sicknesses this person has. And then he said that this is, I'm not alimul ghaib. Alimul ghaib is only Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He said that this is tajruba, this is experience, that we just look at the face of the person, and from here we can tell what sicknesses this person has. Our Hazrat beautifully explains this. He says the example, gives the example of a mechanic. He says that a person, he goes to a mechanic, he says, no, my car is troubling, I have a problem. So the mechanic, he takes one round around the car, he looks at the exhaust, he sees what color smoke is coming out of the exhaust. He says, you know what, your oil, your rings are gone, your engine is going to pack up, you need to put new rings. So what does the person say? He says, no, he's sahib tash. This person, he knows so much, he knows that my car engine is going to pack up. Hazrat says, no, he's not like that. This is tajruba, this is experience, he works with cars every day of his life, therefore he knows. So we find similarly many a time, the awliya, they know exactly what sicknesses a person is going through. Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, one person came into his majlis. Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala said, مَا بَالُ أَقْوَامٍ يَتَرَشَّهُ فِي مِنْ أَعْيُنِهِمُ الزِّنَا. That what is the condition of people, that zina is now dripping from the eyes of these people. One look at this person, and this is the command of this is the comment of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. Why? Because the effect of this could be seen on the face. So therefore a person has to come in the sohbat of Ahlullah. Hazrat explains a very beautiful example or incident he quotes, and he mentions regarding Allama Khalid Kurdi rahmatullah alayh. He was from Kurdistan. He says a great mufti of his time, a great alim of his time, a very very pious person, khatib of his time. He says after some time the thought comes to him, I want my connection with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He could have said, I got Quran Sharif, I got Hadith Sharif, I got Fiqh, I got everything by me. What is the need to go into the company of Ahlullah? But nevertheless, the thought comes, I need connection with Allah, with some Allah wala. So nevertheless, he said, it's a time of Hajj, let me go for Hajj. Yeah, many, many people come for Umrah, many people will come for Hajj, many, many Ahlullah will be there. I will establish a connection with one of them. So he goes to Madinatul Munawwara. In Madinatul Munawwara, his heart never takes to anyone. So he was sitting there one day, one person was lecturing. So he said, fortunate is that person who's got the knowledge of deen. And then fortunate is that person that after having the knowledge of deen, he's involved in the khidmat of deen. And then he said, fortunate is that person that has got good akhlaq. And he said, fortunate is that person that got ta'alluq and got connection with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allama Khalid Kurdi rahmatullahi stood up, he started crying. He says that I've got the first three, I've got the knowledge of deen, I'm making khidmat of deen, I got akhlaq. But the fourth thing, connection with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, I haven't got. That is why I have come here, make dua, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala grants me this connection. So it is mentioned that thereafter there was one buzruk that was in Madinatul Munawwara. He used to go and sit with him. So he told his buzruk, now I'm leaving, I'm going to Makkah Tul Mukarramah, it is time for Hajj. So he gave him one advice. He said, when you go to Makkah Sharif, no matter what you see people doing at that time, he says, don't think evil of any person. So he enters into the Haram of Makkah. When he comes into the Haram of Makkah, the first thing that he sees is a person is sitting with his back against Kaaba Sharif with his feet stretched out. He says, look at the bi'adabi of this person. That buzruk immediately checked him out. And he says, what did that person tell you in Madinatul Munawwara? So he says, "Hazrat, make me bath. I want to become bath." He says, "Your share is in India. You go to India, you take bath in India." So the moment Hajj was over, he had ikhlas, he was sincere. Immediately he goes to India. It is mentioned when he comes to India, then he comes to Delhi, to the Khanqa of Shah Ghulam Rasul Rahmatullah Ali, who was a Khalifa of Hazrat Mirza Jane Jana Rahmatullah Ali. So he comes to his Khanqa and he decides that I want to spend 40 days over here. It is mentioned that this was the time of Shah Abdul Haq Muhaddis Dehlavi Rahmatullah Ali, the son of Shah Waliullah Rahmatullah Ali. So he heard a very, very senior Arab alim. He was from Sham. He says, "Senior alim from Sham has come in the Khanqa. So let us also go and meet him, make musafaha with him." So they decided to go and meet him. When they go there, he said that, "I have come to do my course of my Islam in the company of some Allah wala. Therefore, I am not prepared to meet you people now. Let me finish my course of 40 days. And then you don't have to come and meet me. I will come to your place and I will meet you." Hazrat explained that when this was his condition, when he returned, great Mufti of Baghdad, Allama Alusi Baghdadi Rahmatullah Ali, the author of Ruhul Maani, people like him had taken bath at the hands of Allama Khalid Kurdi Rahmatullah Ali. Allama Shami Rahmatullah Ali, today no Mufti in the world is independent of his fatawa, Raddul Muhtar, that people like Allama Shami Rahmatullah Ali, they came and they took bath at the hand of Allama Khalid Kurdi Rahmatullah Ali. So this was the effect when they stayed in the sohbet of Ahlullah. They had Quran, they had Hadith, they had Fiqah, they had the knowledge of Deen. But that was not sufficient. That time had to be spent in the sohbet of some Allah wala. Mawlana Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Ali, when he used to move along, 500 ulama used to move with him. And they used to make the khidmat of Mawlana Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Ali. But when he met his sheikh, he told the 500 people that, "You go now. I don't need you. Let me now make the khidmat of my sheikh." And this is when he became Mawlana Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Ali, and the whole world is benefiting. My respected brothers, one or two incidents that will terminate. That what is the effect of the sohbet? On one occasion, Jigar Murad Abadi Rahmatullah Ali was a great shair, great poet. And these poets, a major portion of their life they spent in drinking, futile activities. So he was a great poet. So one day he meets Khaja Aziz al-Hassan Sahib Majlub Rahmatullah Ali. Khaja Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was a government official. He mentioned at that time when people didn't have cars in India, he had a shepherd-driven car. He used to speak English, but what was the effect of sohbet of Hazrat Ami Rahmatullah Ali? That when Khaja Sahib Rahmatullah Ali would be present, then great, great Mufti Azam of Pakistan, Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali would be there. But nobody would speak, Khaja Sahib would speak, being a non-alim. So nevertheless, Jigar Murad Abadi Rahmatullah Ali, he met Khaja Sahib. He sees the noor on his face. Look at the sunnat beard that he has, government official. And this is his condition. So he says, "Khaja Sahib, I also want to go to Hazrat Ami Rahmatullah Ali. I also want to go to Tanabon. But I drink all the time. This bottle of mine, I'm not going to leave it behind. So you ask Hazrat Ami Rahmatullah if I can come there. I want to bring the bottle and come there." So he said, "Okay, let me find out." So he asked Hazrat Ami Rahmatullah. Hazrat Ami Rahmatullah said, "No problem. You can come. But we will not entertain you with your bottle in the Khanqa. This is a public place. You can come to my house, stay in my house, there you can keep your bottle, no problem." So nevertheless, he goes, he takes his bottle and now he goes to Tanabon. So on the way, his beard also grew a little bit. When he came to Tanabon, next morning in the Khanqa, he calls the barber. He says, "No, take out the beard, whatever little bit he has grown, take that out also." So now he meets Hazrat Ami Rahmatullah Ali. So he says, "Hazrat, make me bad." Hazrat Ami Rahmatullah Ali says, "Yesterday you came, you had little bit noor on your face. Today that noor has also disappeared." He said, "Hazrat, you are Hakimul Ummat. I am Marizul Ummat. I wanted to expose my faults to you. That is why that little book that was there, that also I took out." So one nazar of Hazrat Ami Rahmatullah, he says, "I want three du'as. Hazrat, I came for three du'as." He says, "What du'as do you want?" He says, "The first du'a, that I stop drinking. The second du'a, I must grow a sunnah beard. And the third du'a, khatama al-iman, that I must leave this world with iman." It is mentioned that much. He meets Hazrat Ami Rahmatullah, he takes bath and he leaves, he goes back. He continues drinking. Allah Ta'ala gives him the tawfiq, that little time that he spent in the sohbet of Hazrat Ami Rahmatullah Ali. That is why they say, يَسْمُدَّتْ بَصَحْبَةِ أَوْلِيَا, that a little while in the sohbet of these awliya and the friends of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, بَهْتَرَ السَّدْ سَالَ صَاعَةِ بَيْرِيَا, it is better than 100 years of ibadat ul ikhlas. When Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali heard the statement, he said, "The shu'ara, these poets, they make a lot of ifrat tafreet, a lot of exaggeration. They think, hey, sometimes they take somebody right up to the skies. Sometimes they take somebody, they put him below the ground also." So he said, "Let me go and ask Hazrat Ami Rahmatullah Ali regarding the statement." So he came to Hazrat, he said, "Hazrat Ami Rahmatullah," he told Hazrat Ami Rahmatullah, "Hazrat, That this statement, that the shu'ara, too much of ifrat and tafreed, they exaggerate. That a little while in the sohbat of the awliya is better than 100 years nafil ibadat, 100 years ikhlas ibadat. Hazrat Tamir rahmatullah alayhi said that this statement is under exaggerated. So he said, yes, muddat ba sohbat awliya, behtar az laf sala ta'at beriya. That spending a little while in the sohbat of these awliya, it is better than 100,000 years of ibadat ul ikhlas. So nevertheless, Jigar Muradabadi rahmatullah, he went back. Allah Ta'ala gave him tawfiq. He grew his sunnah deer, the first thing. Second thing, he's drinking, he stopped drinking. He became so ill, doctor said, you're going to die. So he said, what must I do? So he said, no, you have to cut down little at a time. Like smokers, what do they say? That bring it down. Now you're smoking 20, make it 10, make it 5, then 1, then give it up. So you've got to cut it down, otherwise you're going to die. So he says, if I drink little at a time, and if I live, how much more I'm going to live? Maybe a few more years you'll live. So he says, rather I die now obeying the command of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, rather than living those few more years in the disobedience of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And the third thing, he said, make dua Allah ta'ala gives me death on iman. It is mentioned in the final stages of Jigar Muradabadi rahmatullah alayh. The last few days before he passed away, the Rakim sahab rahmatullah alayh has written, he says, he starts crying and making dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He's rolling on the floor and he continues to ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for forgiveness. And in this condition, whilst making tawbah to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he leaves this world. So a little while in the tawbah of Hazrat Tanwi rahmatullah alayh, what was the effect of those three du'as that Hazrat Tanwi rahmatullah alayh had made for him? My respected elders and brothers, this is the effect of tawbah. Only when a person will have this tawbah, then only will ikhlas come into the person. Hazrat Hakim sahab rahmatullah alayh has given an example from a fiqhi matla of tawbah. He says that a person, he's got 10,000 rand. He's sahib and nisab already, and he's got 10,000 rand with him. This 10,000 rand that a person has got, he kept it for 11 months of the year. Now there's 1 month left. After 1 month, he'll have to pay zakah because 1 year has passed. So he says on the 11th month, he manages to get another 10,000 rand. So how much he's got now? 20,000 rand. Now after 1 month, when the year is over, how much zakah will he have to pay? On 10,000 or 20,000? He has to pay on 20,000. Ask any alim, he'll tell you, he has to pay on 20,000. He says this is tawbah. That first 10,000 made the mujahada, made the qurbani for 11 months. And this 10,000 just came and joined. It got the same ruling as the full 20,000 now, as the first 10,000. Similarly, these awliya, they make mujahada, they make qurbani for a major portion of their life. You just come and join yourself with them. And what they have got, it will just transfer over into you. Yes, Hazrat Muhammad Masihullah sahab rahmatullah explained, we'll terminate on this. Hazrat Muhammad Masihullah rahmatullah explained this. He said that there is a third class coach, a third class compartment. A person, he goes, in here we find that the fan also won't be working. The window also does not open and close. The seats also are torn and they're squeaking. A person, he gets into the third class. And now the third class is connected to the first class. And the first class is connected to the engine. As long as they are connected, where the engine is going to reach, the first class is going to reach the same place. And as long as the third class is connected, third class is also going to reach the same place. So he says, this is our condition, that we say we are evil people, we have no good into us. So all we do, just connect with the first class, connect with the engine, and where these awliya will reach, we will also reach there. Allah Ta'ala give me the tawfiq of making amal, and all of us, wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillah.
Jazakum Allah khairan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant maknaf fakirin, all of us, with qualities and to bring into our lives. Inshallah, now there will be time for brothers to rest until the Asr Salah. And then after the Asr Salah, inshallah, there will be a program again, supper, and then the Maghrib Salah, the main program for the evening. And inshallah, just one, two announcements. One is that this morning, the Mazaif, which were recited, inshallah, at the desk, the Istiqbal desk, whichever brothers want to collect the page, it's in English, the Duas, so it's easy for a person to recite it. 7 valuable prescriptions, inshallah, we can collect it from there in the Istiqbal desk. The brothers can please pick it up from there. And then another thing is that the brothers should rest properly after Asr, after Maghrib, to be fresh again for the bayan.